The Land Cruiser stopped on a low rise where a break in the foliage provided a view to the east. They could see a sloping forested area which opened into a field of yellow grass that was about 3 feet high. There were no dinosaurs.
"Where are they?" Lex said.
Tim looked at the dashboard. The transmitter lights blinked and the CD-ROM whirred. Obviously, the disc was being accessed by some automatic system. He guessed that the same motion sensors that tracked the animals also controlled the screens in the Land Cruiser. The screens now showed pictures of Hypsilophodonts and printed out data about them. The voice said, "Hypsilophodonts are the gazelles of the dinosaur world, small, quick animals that once roamed everywhere in the world, from England to Central Asia to North America. We think these dinosaurs were so successful because they had better jaws and teeth for chewing plants than their contemporaries did. In fact, the name Hypsilophodontid means high ridge tooth, which refers to the characteristic self-sharpening teeth of these animals. You can see them in the plains directly ahead, and also perhaps in the branches of the trees."
"In the trees?" Lex said. "Dinosaurs in the trees?"
Tim was scanning with binoculars, too.
"To the right," he said. "Halfway up that big green trunk."
In the dappled shadows of the tree, a motionless dark green animal about the size of a baboon stood on a branch. It looked like a lizard standing on its hind legs. It balanced itself with a long, drooping tail.
"That's an Othnelia," Tim said.
"The small animals you see are called Othnelia," the voice said, "in honor of the 19th century dinosaur hunter Othniel Marsh of Yale." Tim spotted two more animals on the higher branches of the same tree. They were all about the same size. None of them were moving.
"Pretty boring," Lex said. "They're not doing anything."
"The main herd of animals can be found in the grassy plain below you," said the voice. "We can rouse them with a simple mating call." A loudspeaker by the fence gave a long nasal call, like the honking of geese. From the field of grass directly to their left, six lizard heads poked up, one after another. The effect was comical, and Tim laughed. The heads disappeared. The loudspeaker gave the call again, and once again the heads poked up, in exactly the same way, one after another. The fixed repetition of the behavior was striking. "Hypsilophodonts are not especially bright animals," the voice explained. "They have roughly the intelligence of a domestic cow." The heads were dull green, with a mottling of dark browns and blacks that extended down the slender necks. Judging from the size of the heads, Tim guessed their bodies were 4 feet long, about as large as deer. Some of the Hypsilophodonts were chewing, the jaws working. One reached up and scratched its head with a five-fingered hand. The gesture gave the creature a pensive, thoughtful quality. "If you see them scratching, that is because they have skin problems. The veterinary scientists here at Jurassic Park think it may be a fungus or an allergy, but they're not sure yet. After all, these are the first dinosaurs in history ever to be studied alive." The electric motor of the car started, and there was a grinding of gears. At the unexpected sound, the herd of Hypsilophodonts suddenly leapt into the air and bounded above the grass like kangaroos, showing their full bodies with massive hind limbs and long tails in the afternoon sunlight. In a few leaps, they were gone. "Now that we've had a look at these fascinating herbivores, we will go on to some dinosaurs that are a little larger. Quite a bit larger, in fact." The Land Cruisers continued onward, moving south through Jurassic Park.